Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, intuitive Reiki energy practitioner, and today welcome my special guest, Carol Ward, author of Find Your Inner Voice. Carol is a psychotherapist and a nationally recognized speaker and writer. Carol's passion, as is mine, is to show people how to link their hearts and heads when making decisions and showing them how important the mind and body connection is. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Cheryl. Great to be here.
And I'm so glad to have you here.
Yeah.
As listeners of Healing From Within are aware, it is one of our prime objectives to offer insights and also the means for creating greater clarity and new perceptions so people can make healthier life choices. So by becoming more aware of our dual nature as both spiritual or heart-centered beings and also as physical or mind and ego-oriented beings, we can learn to use this combination and the knowledge we have and improve the mind-body connection. A better connection allows for fuller access to our innate gift for self-healing and for engaging in life in a more understanding, purposeful, and loving way. In today's show, Carol, I know you're going to show us a five-step methodology for finding your inner voice so people can access the power of this connection and also recognize their own instinctive and intuitive signals. Carol, please tell us something about your life, your childhood or professional life, that perhaps was the motivation for your life work and for eventually writing and speaking about these interests and topics that we're speaking about on this show.
Well, it's actually been one very direct way and one indirect way. And the most direct way was that I simply, as I was growing up, used to know things. They would sort of arise within me. I'd have an image or a picture of things that I was trying to find answers to. For example, I tell this story of when I was in a Girl Scout troop, and there were three of us chosen to do little speeches. Two were going to go do them in the church, and one was going to do them in the high school auditorium. And I sat there, and I said, I'm going to be chosen for the high school auditorium. I just knew it, and indeed I was. And I would have these incidents happen where I would just know things in advance. So that's the direct way. The indirect way was my grandmother was a Russian immigrant, and she came to this country, and she tells a tale of that when she was growing up in Russia, she was taught to read tea leaves by a woman in the local village.
And interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And my grandmother used to do that.
And my grandparents are from Russia, so perhaps
it's something there. It's an Eastern European thing. And she came to the States, and she also was able to predict things for other people. She would say, we've got to go do this, and good things would happen. So perhaps I got it from her, and it's just something from that point on that I wanted to cultivate within myself, more to understand how we often know things before we know them. Sometimes they register on us physically before they register mentally. And I was trying to help people trust that more.
Yes, absolutely. And as a child, I know I remember I would answer the question before the teacher finished the question. And they would say, Cheryl, you have to wait and be patient. And I really didn't understand that other people didn't operate this way.
Right.
I thought we all had this knowing or this gift, and it took me a very, very long time to understand that this intuition that I was getting and always following and always doing quite well at what I was trying to accomplish was not the same. People were not at the same level of
right.
understanding or using. It took me a very long time. But I also know in reading your book, you began studying acting, and you moved to Manhattan, and you had some struggles with, you say in the book, body image and self-esteem. And you eventually went to someone whose training was in body-mind psychotherapy.
Yes.
Which led you right into a career that worked very well with your intuitive sense.
It's true, and I had not expected or had heard about this type of psychotherapy. It's one of those things, again, where I ran into someone, a friend of mine from college, who said, you know, I've been doing this work and you should try it. And, you know, Cheryl, it's one of those moments where I felt, without any logic taking place, that it was the right thing to do. But it just felt right to me. So I went and I got into the therapy myself and became fascinated by it. Really felt that I wanted to help people by using this methodology of how we hold feelings in the body as well as try to resolve them in the mind.
Well, you know, the body has the ability to manage emotional pain through muscular tension. I know you talk about that. And a lot of people will go seeking a release of muscular tension, and they'll go to massage and chiropractic or other energy healing methods for tightness, because this tightness and pain are really telling us something from our inner voice, from our higher self, in order to get us to understand our life purpose and perhaps the promises we made long ago, even before incarnating into this life. So, but attention to the body only can do so much. It's when you bring together all the elements of your mind and your body, your inner and your outer world, so that you can start to make the right choices. And plenty of people talk about a mind-body connection, but I don't know if they really understand what it is and how important it is to our health. So can you tell us something about a mind-body connection?
It's so true that there needs to be this partnership, as opposed to these two separate entities, the mind over in one place and the body in another, that when they are in partnership, you have one of the best resources available to you. So I've had patients in my office say to me, you know, I've gone to the doctor, I've had this tension in my jaw or my shoulders, and I've been told that there's something physically wrong with me. And I with them, and we will have a discussion and an introspective discussion about, well, if that area could talk, or if it could express what it wanted to express, what would that be? And I'll have the person literally put their attention on that jaw or their chest or their shoulders where they're feeling the tension. And often a great deal of emotion is stored in those areas. Now, releasing emotion, Cheryl, isn't the only thing. It's not just about releasing emotion and releasing the tension, as you said. It's also about using our wonderful brains and understanding and resolving what that emotional expression is about. And that's why it's such a great partnership, releasing and resolving and understanding with the mind. And it just can create a great deal of relaxation and a great deal of trust of self when we let go in that way.
Well, Carol, what stops most people from connecting to this important mind and body and for accepting responsibility for their own health? What stops them?
I think it's a lot of it is habit. And what I mean by that is, you know, that people grow up being, usually we arrive being pretty open. But over time, we either learn verbally or non-verbally that certain ways of expressing ourselves are not acceptable. So we find a way to...
Well, they may be acceptable, but other people are putting their input and saying they're not.
That's
where low self-esteem and a lack of confidence come in, and poor parenting and children being told by many different authority figures what to say, how to behave. Sometimes they instinctively, intuitively know, and we'd be wise to allow them to find their own way more than to restrict them.
Often people are restricted, and so they find a very clever way, because we want to survive, of making it through. So we retreat on some level. We retreat physically, spiritually, and emotionally in order to survive. And then it becomes a habit. this habit of retreating, this habit of holding back, and we don't even realize until, I always say, until one day, and this happens quite a bit, people are in a yoga class and they're doing some form of exercise or posture, and they find themselves in tears because something is being released.
Yeah.
Or I've had people say to me, well, I went out for some cocktails with friends, and all of a sudden I came home and I was furious. Mm. Or all this anger that comes out from, again, from the muscles relaxing. So this is the kind of emotional tension we're talking about, that over time we don't even really realize we're holding on to it until something happens that causes it to come to the surface.
And also there could be fear, stress, illness, tiredness, things like that, and difficulty in having enough to sustain a level of physical comfort, survival.
It's true. And if you're just trying to get through and just trying to survive, you sometimes disconnect from your body in order to do that.
So we want to help people learn how to use this power between the mind and body so that they can stop the struggle between their heart or inner being or essence and connection to higher wisdom that comes in from a higher plane of information. So how can we suggest that they begin to do this? Let's start by beginning.
I'm really a big fan of waking up the body in a slow way because, you know, we don't go from a state of being shut down to a state of being open right away because it's scary. As you said, there's fear involved. And one of the best ways is through connecting to the breath. And it sounds funny, but people really hold their breaths quite a bit, which reflects their emotional expression.
Well, to me it doesn't sound funny because in every Reiki session, as we go deeper into the session, I'm doing breathing and teaching the people how to breathe deeply into their gut and then let it out because most people are breathing into their chest. They just are too tight, and they don't know how to breathe.
They don't know, and I've found that how people breathe reflects their emotional state.
Yes.
So if there's this holding in the chest, there's this fear and holding and tension. Some people can't even breathe into their upper chest, and they breathe very shallowly, in a shallow manner, or they don't, as you said, they don't allow the breath to go into the gut and the belly, which is a great source of power.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably experienced this too, Cheryl. I've had people just focus on their breathing in a psychotherapy session, and all of a sudden, a great deal of emotion starts to come to the surface.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's about holding the space and letting that person feel their feelings in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking with them about what they feel it was about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it about? What do you think those feelings came up about? And people find great many connections to their past. Sometimes it's too, they had a terrible day that week at work, and they held on to the feeling, and all of a sudden it came out when they started to breathe more deeply.
You know, so, Carol, sometimes they've been functioning this way for so long, and when they just feel it and say it, it's almost like they see it in a new way and it no longer has a hook into their emotions and they can begin their own self-healing journey. It can be as simple as that, just an awareness of what they were not before aware of. Now, let's talk about what the inner voice really is.
I believe it is this wise part of us that is unencumbered by all the habit and all the fear. It is this innate, instinctive part of us that knows and recognizes when something feels right or wrong. And when I mean right or wrong, meaning safe or dangerous,
yes,
pleasurable or painful, good or bad.
Well, some people say it is your higher self. Some people say it's guidance from a higher source of intelligence or God or souls beyond this plane. I'm going to tell you a little story that happened to me one day a long time ago, and I wasn't quite sure how it happened at that moment, but now I'm more aware of it. I was in my office, and a thought went quickly through my head, take the money now. And I was at the front desk of my office, and there was a receptionist. There are many professionals in my building, and she was working for several of us. And, of course, trusting the girl who was handling payment for my clients, I didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, I found out the girl had been let go, and my money was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that we talk about now, we go from this to an intuitive or an instinct, and understanding where that inner, that thought came from. Was it from within, or was it an intuitive thought that floated from outside into me? So
well,
we can talk about now instinct and intuition.
I differentiate them a little bit. I believe that instinct is our biological system of self-care. That's what it's a very physical thing. That's that instinctive, I'm walking down the street, I see something that doesn't feel right, my body physically reacts, and I make a choice. I'm gonna go in a different direction.
You might get a little anxiety in your stomach, or
exactly,
a pressure on your heart or head.
Yes.
Yeah, something is just off.
Something is just off, and that's what people really tell me the most when I sit with people and we're working through something that they're trying to decide about, Cheryl. I will see a physical change in them when they, I call it, land on the decision that's right for them. I can see it physically. And then they, as we're talking, I'll say, how do you know you've made the right decision? And they'll say, I feel it. And
mm-hmm.
10 times out of 10,
mm-hmm.
they point to their body.
Yes.
They just point back to their body. Wherever it is, people feel it differently. So that's instinct for me, this biological system. You
mm-hmm.
see it with dogs and cats. They just really respond instinctively. Intuition for me is more of an outside in. There is this perception that you are picking up information
mm-hmm.
that is hard. It doesn't appear to be logical. I still think it's registering with the body. I think the more connected we are to our body, the better we're going to pick up that information. But as you know, it's the times that we think of someone and then they call us on the phone, or,
yes,
you know, we're thinking of someone's name and we walk around the corner and there they are. I still think it has to do with a very, very sophisticated perception that we perceive things and it registers on us physically. So I'm such a body-based person. I think whether it's instinct or intuition, the more in touch we are with our bodies, the more either of those ways of perceiving are going to become faster and faster.
Well, I'm such a heart-based person, so I feel the connection to everyone and to a higher energetic level.
Mm.
So it is the body, and it is this connection of energy.
An energy.
Just,
yeah.
An energy force. So you give a story in your book. You say your grandmother woke up one night, and she just knew she should play bingo that night, and she would win big.
That's true.
That, to me, was a message from higher intelligence, spirit, call it what you will. And we have impulses to check on sleeping children, sometimes find them ill or they need us. So there is a great deal of information. We are sensory individuals or human beings, and we work mostly with our five senses, but there are many more senses available to us. And I think as we are evolving, this is becoming clearer and clearer.
Yes.
Now, you also mention that the inner voice also includes both instinct and intuition. So I think we just explained that.
Yeah, that is, we feel it physically, and it's both.
We feel it physically, and we know it through these fleeting thoughts of wisdom that come into us. And this is for everyone. This is not just for psychic or mediums. This is for everyone. It's happening. It's just sometimes we're so busy just living our daily life that we don't pay attention to it.
That's
now, you
funny.
Say in recent years there has been talk about another brain, the one that resides in the gut. And, you know, the tissue is the same in the brain, the gut, and the heart.
Yes.
Same DNA and cell structure. So we are receiving information in all that. And you mentioned Dr. Gerd Gersinger. a social psychologist and a researcher in the science of heuristics. Would you tell us something about that?
Well, it's the sense of we're able to, you know, we're always processing information. And we have, as we process information, we store it. And we are able to tap back into very, very quickly that information when we need to make sense of something. But it happens so quickly and that we often dismiss what you and I have just been talking about, that little fleeting, like, ooh, something's wrong. We're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. There is a delay, a tiny delay they're finding between when something registers physically or in the gut and when it registers on the brain. And because there's that little bit of a delay and because of that emotional habit we talked about of disconnecting to the body, we often dismiss those signs and signals because they don't make logical sense. We keep trying to make logical sense of things that don't always happen logically, even though we're getting a very clear signal on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And what I've encouraged people to do is, you can still go with your logic if you want. It's fine. But just bring in a little more space and room for these signs and signals.
That sounds great to me. That sounds right on the money. Can you tell us some general areas in the body where many people experience some of these responses we're talking about and how to use our body like a compass?
Sure.
What are the points they can focus on?
So the big one is people always will point to their gut, so that's the belly or right around the belly button. Mm-hmm. The chest is another area people will feel a flushing in the chest, a sense of warmth. People often feel it, as you know, between the third eye, right there between the eyebrows is another area. The back of the neck,
mm-hmm.
people feel, I mean, literally the hairs will stand up on the back of their
when
neck.
When something is correct for them.
That's right.
True.
Or
mm-hmm.
true, or something feels off, will be like, that person seems friendly, but my hairs are sticking up on the back of my neck, or my stomach is churning.
Mm-hmm.
Something is off here. Or the hands. The hands are often, they can get cold when we feel
or
uncomfortable.
Tingle.
Or
mm-hmm.
tingle. So those are a lot of the different areas. And the reason I said use the body as a compass is I feel that when we pay attention to those areas, and people have special ones for themselves that are unique to those, but when people pay attention to those areas that heat up or cool down or flutter or tingle,
mm-hmm.
it then allows us to move in the direction, literally, meaning walk in the direction we need to, or philosophically make choices,
mm-hmm.
figuratively make choices based on what our body is leading us towards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are very successful people in life who will say, you know, I was very successful in this career and I just knew I had to leave. Logically, I was good at it, I should have stayed, but I felt drawn in a different direction. And a lot of successful people know
it's time to move on.
It's time to move on.
It's time to make a shift. And that's wonderful. You know, when I was younger, I used to be really afraid of change, as many of us are. But now I welcome it because I realize when I feel that way, there's something new to experience in this life, and it's a great gift. And you had a quote in your book by Albert Einstein, and he said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant." We have created, it seems, a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. And we're really talking about that. When we know we have to move on, it is our intuition. It is our joy in knowing that we have so much to experience in this life. And if we would be sensitive enough and brave enough to listen, there's no way of having failure, because there really is no failure, just experiences that guide us and help us learn.
That's right, to just let ourselves follow that. And it's okay that we're learning how to do it. We don't have to go from not knowing how to knowing it instantly to realize that there is a way to wake up the body. There's a way to learn how to trust it again, to start paying attention on a daily basis, being mindful of all the little flutters and signals that we're getting, and to do little fun exercises. You know, I always do this. Sometimes I walk to the elevator in my building, and I just go, I think it's going to be the middle elevator, just to, you know, little things, or is the subway coming? You know, which train should I take?
Play a game
just
to help your intuition.
Yes, just to heighten things, to give myself a little stretch, and that makes it easier than having to be perfect at it right away.
Well, we're never going to be perfect, but
right. We're
going to get better at some of this.
Yes.
You know, there are consequences and symptoms that people will experience if they avoid their emotions and intuitive guidance. How does this show up, and what kind of destructive behaviors?
Well, if we're avoiding what we feel, the feelings aren't going to go away. And I say they keep tugging on our sleeve or tapping on our shoulder. But we will do things to manage the feelings that are uncomfortable. So we'll do things such as overeat or overdrink,
overwork,
because we're trying to manage feelings that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we can sit with ourselves quietly, or meditation or prayer, or talk with someone and find our way back to who we are, then we won't have to run anymore.
Right, and we want to do that before denial sets in big time.
That's
right.
So,
you know, many people have a need to recognize their limitations and damaging interactions in their friendships, acquaintances, groups, and they need to make changes to protect their health and energy. So what can you say about the need to align to people who help us grow and be well, and how do we decide who to keep, manage, or step away from when it comes to relationships?
I always say, when you imagine going to meet the person before you go, what does your body feel like? Go back to the body. Now, I said in my book, you know, there's certain people in our lives that we have to put up with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're in a work situation. Sometimes it's a relative, whoever it is. We just have to. So we have to make choices about how much time and energy we spend with those people. But you want to think about, gee, when I imagine going and spending time with my good friend, I'll just make up a name, Miranda, how does my body feel? Oh, I feel excited. Or when I go to imagine spending time with my friend Jim, how does my body feel? Oh,
mm-hmm.
I feel kind of low and tense. Is that how you feel all the time? And if that's the case, why are you spending time with someone whose energy affects you and you don't feel good about?
Yeah. Well, that's what we have to learn to realize, feel, and move towards or away in developing ourselves, because it's all about our own personal self-growth.
That's right.
And that's what this life, I believe, is really about. And everyone else is a prop, like in a theatrical production. And it's interesting that you started in an acting, you know, profession for a while. Now, I think also whatever role you played in your family is often the role you see yourself playing with friends and coworkers. And sometimes we need to realize that pattern, or we'll go through our whole life either being a giver or a taker. And it would be nice to be neither. It would be nice to find a balance and come towards a better view of ourselves and living with others. Right?
I agree, Cheryl. You said, awareness is the key. We, as people, we tend to recreate what we grew up with and what we're familiar with, just unconsciously.
It's unconscious because people are not really aware of this until they talk to people like us who are involved in this work.
That's
and
right.
Then we can see some of their destructive behavior, and then they can see it just in learning to do these techniques you've spoken about today, feeling your body, recognizing what feels good and what doesn't. I want to thank you, Carol, for sharing your book, Find Your Inner Voice, and for suggesting many fine ways in your book and your CD for understanding how our physical body, our intuitive, and our instincts help us to review and, where needed, revise our professional needs, our relationship challenges, and for making better use of our home and our workspaces, for creating changes that encourage personal growth.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. It's been a pleasure to be on your show. I know we're both interested in helping people evolve.
Yes. So for more information, go to carolward.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I would like to read something from Carol's book. It was under the title in her book, A Call From Within. The path we choose for personal growth is either an experience we consciously choose or one that happens to us. More than any other area of our lives, when we are feeling a personal emptiness, our inner voice gets called into action. Whether we undertake the quest willingly or struggle against it, the impetus for change makes itself known. Many people talk of receiving messages from out of the blue or having special moments that change their lives, such as hearing God's voice, hitting rock bottom with an addiction, or experiencing an amazing recovery from illness. But Carol and I would like you to try to accept change as the means and opportunity for self-exploration and for living life as joyously and courageously, drawing on the love from within. Your story and life are yours to create, and your thoughts and actions are the building blocks of your personal success and the evolution of our society. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to listen to all shows on the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, or WebTalkRadio.net, to hear the finest, most caring and mindful authors, change makers, and leaders for today's modern-day view of healing and personal growth.